Today is Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day. It's a tremendous volume of pastime and philosophy that's been written. So much could be spoken, but we only have a short time. So I'm sort of developing a theme today. The theme is spiritual strength. What it is, where it comes from, how to get it. Since Nityananda Prabhu is the embodiment of Guru Tattva, he is the original Guru. And without the mercy of Nityananda, actually it's not possible to make any spiritual advancement. This is the conclusion of so many great acharyas. So, in Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes this. A little bit mysterious statement. He says, in all of the ancient literatures of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So, I don't know, the question may arise, which is it? So, this is actually addressed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in an issue of The Harmonist that was published many years ago. And he writes this very interesting analysis. He says, the guru is the embodiment of the manifestation of the divinity. This is the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about the divinity. So, the guru is the embodiment of the manifestation of the divinity to the pure, receptive, spiritual essence of the disciple. So, in other words, he's the manifestation of divinity to the heart of the disciple. Nityananda is the primary manifestive constituent of the divinity. Nityananda alone possesses the distinctive function of the guru. In Nityananda, the function is embodied. Nityananda is the servant God. So God as a servant, that's Nityananda. So guru also, he is the servant, external manifestation of the supersoul, the servant God. So he serves Sri Gaurasundara by the distinctive method of reverential servitude. He is identical with Sri Balaram of Krishna Leela. Sri Balaram is not the chum of Krishna. Now this is an old-fashioned expression for those of you who are young. It means friend. But his respected elder brother. It is an intimate relationship characterized by becoming reserved on one side and of respectful deference on the other. Individual souls are under the direction of Nityananda. They receive their service of Sri Gaurasundara, that is of Krishna, at his hands. Nityananda is not a jiva. He is divinity. He is the ultimate source of the jiva. The jiva is a potency of Nityananda. No jiva can be the medium of the service of the absolute to another jiva. The absolute alone may communicate his service to the separable constituents of himself. This is the real nature of the function of the guru. But Nityananda does not directly instruct in the confidential service of Krishna. Srimati Radhika is the guru of the inner circle of the servants of Krishna. Srimati Radhika, however, accepts the offer of service of only those souls who are specially favored by Nityananda. So here's the kind of like the resolution. It's on Nityananda's recommendation that she accepts people for the service of Krishna. So I'll read it again. It says, she accepts the offer of service of only those souls who are specially favored by Nityananda and are deemed by him to be fit for her service. There is, therefore, a most intimate relationship between the function of Nityananda and that of Srimati Radhika, who is at once supplementary to and inclusive of the former. But all jivas are not liable to be eclipsed by the deluding potency. Those who are so liable are again distinct from the eternally free jivas. The eternally free jivas are inseparable associates of Nityananda. They are integrated part and parcel of himself. They never fall into the clutches of Maya. When Nityananda manifests his appearance on the mundane plane, his inseparable constituents also appear in his company. They sometimes manifest their function on this lower place in a visible form on the errands of Nityananda. They are Vaishnavas whose subordination to Nityananda is natural and ingrained in their nature. It is not necessary for such souls to undergo the process of enlightenment for being restored to the spiritual plane. Unless this fact is borne in mind, the conditioned soul may be tempted to undervalue the constant guidance of the Guru. So this is also an important point. The conditioned soul may be tempted to undermine the constant guidance of the Guru on the hypocritical plea of following in the footsteps of the eternally free pure devotees. So this is, Bhaktisiddhanta spent a lot of his efforts in slamming the Sahajiyas. So this mood of thinking that, oh yeah, I'm going to follow the residents of Vrindavan, I'm going to be like one of the residents of Vrindavan, he's saying, no, your only entry is through the Guru. Those, therefore, who suppose that deliverance from the bondage of this world should be practicable without the constant guidance of the spiritual preceptor, confound the conditioned state with the free. So, elevated talk by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, the verse on the board today is from the seventh canto. This is a wonderful verse with a rather long purport, so we'll do our best. I know it's probably not very easy to see, but this is the only facility we've got, so as far as possible. Translation, as long as one has to accept a material body, with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely, his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Janma karma cha me divyang evang yo veti tatvataha chaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mang eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, 17th verse, Nirdehang adhyang sulabhang sudhurlabhang plavang sankalpang guru karanardaram. Somebody knows this verse by heart. That's good. Mayan ukulena nabhashvateritang puman bhavadhim nataret saatmaha. This human body, this human form of body, is a most valuable boat. And the spiritual master is the captain. Guru Karanardaram. To guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nations. The instruction of Krishna is the favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nations. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy, one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here is achyuta bhava. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nations. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. So this theme will be developed throughout this purport, that without satisfying the spiritual master, there's no question of spiritual advancement. By the mercy of the spiritual master, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, one is able to actually achieve something, and by that method only, by pleasing the spiritual master, by actually following the order, by following the instruction of the spiritual master. So, Prabhupada writes, I'll just read that sentence again. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of Gyan is insufficient. So it's not by accumulation of knowledge. It's not by scholarship. It's not by being a brilliant linguist or philosopher. It says here that that Gyan, that is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Actually, the instruction of the spiritual master carries the potency to fulfill his order and to become a self-realized. That instruction, because that instruction represents the mercy, following that instruction invokes the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So, satisfaction of the spiritual master is the secret of success. Here it says, then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it, to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma-Bhuta. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tato mang tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvata, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mang tatvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, aruya kutschena parang padang tata patantyado nadrita yusmad angrayaha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahmapadam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master, coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy, and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus, one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. So I know this is a long purport, but it's a very enlightening purport also. Significant in this verse are the words Gyanasim Achyuta Bhalaha. Gyanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. So this is an important point here, that we hear the knowledge given by Krishna, especially in Bhagavad Gita and other sources. And when it says, when one serves the Guru and Krishna, then Balaram gives one strength. So it's by serving this order of the representative of Nityananda, the spiritual master, that one actually gets the strength to make spiritual advancement. Balaram is Nityananda. Varajendra Nandana ye sachi sutta hoila se Balaram hailan nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yata chila harinama udarila. Their weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus, one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. So, we accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and we become strong by the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad it is said, Nayang atma bala hinena labhyo, nacha pramadhat tapaso vyapyalingat, etai rupayar yatate yas tu vidvangs, tasyaisha atma vishate brahmadhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitai yera karuna habe, vraje radha krishna bhabe. When one receives the mercy of Nityananda, of Balaram, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandha nahi yar, brita janma gele tar, vidya kulehi karibe tar. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar, or gyani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. So it isn't by any kind of materialistic qualification that you can get the mercy of Nitai. But actually it's by pleasing his representative. The spiritual master represents the mercy of Nityananda. So by pleasing the spiritual master, one actually invokes the mercy of Balaram or Nitai, Nityananda. So that is the end of that purport. There are a few, I gathered together a few selected portions from Prabhupada's books which talk about this principle of spiritual strength. Where does it come from? Actually, when one executes the order of the spiritual master sincerely, then that by executing that order, the strength will come. Actually, Prabhupada used to remark about this commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the verse Vyavasayatmika Budhirekeya Kurunandana, that by executing the specific order of the spiritual master, that one is granted this spiritual strength that comes from Nitai. So, from the first canto, because he is as powerful as Lord Krishna and can bestow spiritual power to the devotees, he is therefore known as Baladev. In the Vedas also it is enjoined that no one can know the Supreme Lord without being favored by Balaram. Bala means spiritual strength, not physical. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body. But no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. Physical strength ends with the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration, and therefore the strength. This is a nice statement, the strength obtained by Baladev is never wasted. The strength is eternal. And thus Baladev is the original spiritual master of all devotees. So this spiritual strength that's gathered by sincerely executing the order of the spiritual master, this strength is eternal and perfect. So that's from the first canto. Then we have this statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto. The word mangala, auspicious, in this verse is very significant. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes that to do what is good and to reject what is not good is called mangala, or auspicious. So accepting what's favorable, rejecting which is not favorable. To do what is good means, because I remember there was a whole presentation we did some months back about what does it mean to do good. And you talk about people as do-gooders sometimes. So here's a definition. To do what is good means to accept everything favorable to the discharge of devotional service. And to reject what is not good means to reject everything not favorable for discharging devotional service. Very straightforward. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we accept this principle by rejecting four prohibited items, namely illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, and flesh eating, and accepting the daily chanting of at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and daily meditation 3 times a day by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. In this way, one can keep his brahminical culture and spiritual strength intact. So here, the most basic order ever given by Prabhupada in all the initiation letters. Follow these regulative principles, chant the holy name at least 16 rounds, and of course for those who are brahminically initiated, following chanting their Gayatris. So he says, in this way, one can keep his brahminical culture and spiritual strength intact. So it's by following the order of the Guru. Again, that is where the strength comes from. The Guru representing the strength of Balaram. It says, by following these principles of devotional service, strictly, chanting 24 hours a day, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One makes positive progress in spiritual life and ultimately becomes completely fit to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is quite a guarantee. This is a guarantee here. Prabhupada's given a guarantee that if you strictly follow this, you'll become fit ultimately. Now, he did say ultimately. So you have to be pretty serious about it. And one life is not such a big deal. But one becomes fit to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So that's from the fourth canto. Here's one from the Adi Lila. With the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually began following the regulative principles that he had converted some Brahmins who were formerly not following the practices that they should have been following. So it says, they actually began following the regulative principles according to his order. That order is still existing. And anywhere and everywhere, in all parts of the world, one can execute it. That order is to become a spiritual master under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following the regulative principles, chanting daily at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. If we adhere to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we shall get spiritual strength, without a doubt, and we shall be free to preach this cult of the Hare Krishna movement and not be hampered by anyone. This is from the Krishna book, the next one. This is in the prayers, the second chapter, Prayers of the Demigods, when they're invoking the mercy of the Lord, praying, offering prayers. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya, my plenary expansion, Anantasesha, is within the womb of Devaki. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he will be known as Sankarsana and will be the source of all spiritual power, or bhala, by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Ananta, will be known after his appearance either as Sankarsana or as Balaram. In the Upanishads it is stated, Nayam Atma Bhala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. So this comes up again and again in Prabhupada's writings. You're all reading these books, aren't you? Everyone? Anyone not? No, I guess you're not going to admit it, are you? Anyway, you should read them. There's an ocean of mercy in those pages. So, Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. Actually, in one purport, it was apparently Vivekananda's idea that, you know, you had to become very hardy, physically hardy, in order to make spiritual advancement. And he thought that's what Bala was all about, that it was that sort of strength, which Prabhupada condemns as a foolish idea. Says one must have the spiritual strength which is infused. Interesting word, huh? One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram, or Sankarsana, Ananta, or Sesha. It's the source of power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation. But actually, it is a display of the potency of Sankarsana. Balaram, or Sankarsana, is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram. So, Balaram, the original spiritual master, and the spiritual master in disciplic succession, is the representative of Balaram. The form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who supplies spiritual strength. So the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who supplies spiritual strength. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita has confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. This next section was spoken here in London in 1973. I think some of you were here then. Anyway, Prabhupada spoke in this particular segment. He says, Maya is very strong. Maya is very strong. He said it twice. At any moment, we can fall down. Therefore, we have to keep ourselves very much vigilant. Strong. Strength. The spiritual strength is the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and following the rules and regulations. Then, Maya cannot. So he's saying that this is the strength. The spiritual strength is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and following the rules and regulations. Then Maya cannot. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etang tarantite. If you keep yourself strictly to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, Maya will not be able to do anything. No. Then in this next segment, this is a conversation on the appearance day of Lord Balaram, and it's a conversation involving Swarup Damodar and Brahmananda. And it goes, Prabhupada speaking here. If one has got unflinching faith in Krishna and his representative, Guru, then all the knowledge will be revealed to him automatically. Now he's speaking here to Swarup Damodar. Just like yourself, you're a big scientist. There might be a slight, you know, Prabhupada, or there's a slight edge sometimes when Prabhupada, you're a big scientist, you know, kind of teasing him. You have talked with me, you have studied with me, and you have examined me in so many ways. And I have also spoken whatever I had, knowledge. Unless you are convinced, how you can say you are my spiritual master? So what is the secret? I'm not a scientist. I'm not M.A. He said C.A. I'm not sure. I'm not M.A., C.A., whatever that is. How do you agree to accept me as spiritual master? Because I stick to this principle. Krishna and Guru, that's all. This is the secret of Guru. So today is Baladev Avyudbhav. Baladev is the strength. Nayang Atma Bhala Hinena Labhya. You cannot understand, realize yourself without the help of Baladev. Therefore, in the Vedic literatures, Nayang Atma Bala Hinena Labhya, you cannot become self-realized without the mercy of Baladev. Now, our Vivekananda Swami, he interpreted that unless you become stout and strong like the bulls and the buffalo, you cannot realize yourself. He interpreted like that. So he engaged people to make gymnastics, exercise. You become very stout and strong. Eat meat. And this is going on. This philosophy is going on. Bala Hinena. Unless you become as strong as a tiger, you cannot realize yourself. This interpretation is going on. Therefore, they put this argument that our countrymen are suffering. There is no food. First of all, we must give them food, make them strong, stout. Then we shall talk about Krishna consciousness. So, sometimes you hear devotees making this argument too. Do they not say like that? Brahmananda, yes. Prabhupada, this is another nonsense. Bala Hinena does not mean this physical strength. Bala means spiritual strength. Baladev. Baladev is spiritual strength. Nityananda. Balaram Hailanitai. Brahmananda trying to get the phrase right. He says, Hina? Hina Bala Hina? Prabhupada, Hina means without. And Bala means strength. So Shastra says, Nayang Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. One who is less strong or one who has no support of strength, then he cannot make any progress in spiritual self-realization. This is the Vedic injunction. So they interpret that unless you become physically strong, you cannot make any spiritual advancement. So, but in Western countries, we have seen so many people physically very strong, stout and strong, practically everyone. But what is their self-advancement in self-realization? So he was very scornful or cynical about this idea. He says, so these things are going on. So Bala means spiritual strength, not material strength. That means one must be spiritually strong. And that spiritually strong means to have good faith in Krishna and Guru. That is spiritual strength. So here we have another definition of spiritual strength. That we have faith, strong faith in Krishna and Guru. Nishta. Fixed up. One of the controversial figures in the Gaudiya Math, I won't mention any names, once said about Prabhupada's disciple as a compliment. He said that there may be many deficiencies, he said, but they have Guru Nishta. Means they have strong faith in their spiritual master. So this, he was admiring this, how strong their faith was, that whatever Prabhupada said, they were accepting it. So he says, therefore, Baladev means Guru, spiritual strength. So that conversation took place in Vrindavan in 1974. This is also from a lecture in Mayapur in 1975, this next section. Sankarshan, there are so many names of Shri Baladev. In the Upanishad it is said, Nayang Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo. Self-realization is not possible without being strengthened by the mercy of Balaram. Sometimes they take it foolishly that without being very strong, nobody can realize the self. But that is not a fact. So then he quotes the verse again. He says, that is Vedic injunction. That Bala Hinena means without being favored by Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram. So there's a few more here. Well, we still have some more time, so you'll have to gird your loins, so to speak. So, Nityananda Prabhu is the immediate expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Baladev Tattva. Baladev means who gives strength for spiritual advancement. These are the Vedic injunctions. So without Baladev's or Nityananda's grace, one cannot make advancement. Then he quotes this the part of the song from Goranga Bolite Habe. He says, Ar kabe nitai chand, karuna hai be, sangsara vasana mora kabe tucha habe. This is the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. Narottam Das Thakur explains, Arakobe Nitai Chand, Karuna Karibe. Narottam Das Thakur is aspiring for the day when Nityananda Prabhu will be pleased upon him. Just like Jagai Madhai were delivered by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, so we have to pray to Nityananda Prabhu. He's very merciful. He's so kind, Baladev. He gives spiritual strength. Then we can approach the Supreme Lord. Therefore we chant, Nitai Gaur. This is the process. We cannot change this policy. Panchatattva must be worshipped, otherwise wherefrom we shall get? The spiritual master, Nityananda Prabhu, is the spiritual master. Or spiritual master is the replica, representation of Nityananda Prabhu. So when Nityananda Prabhu is pleased, then we become detached from this material attraction. There's a section in that song, Vishaya Chariya Kade. How does it go? Vishaya Chariya Kabe Shudahabe Man. Sri Vrindavan. That he's asking the song, the Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will this sense gratification desire become very tuchavat? When will it become insignificant? When will it become completely insignificant? So this is the question. He's praying to Nityananda, please, let me please you. Let me get your mercy so that this desire for sense gratification will become tuchavat, will become insignificant. So maybe this will be a good prayer today that we pray to Nityananda, please, please let me come to the platform where this desire for sense pleasure becomes insignificant. Presently, it's quite significant. At least that's my practical experience. Very significant desire. But we want it to become insignificant by the mercy of Nityananda, by the mercy of the spiritual master. When Nityananda is pleased, Prabhupada writes, then we become detached from this material attraction. So the pleasure of Nityananda, the pleasure of Sri Guru, this is the way. Now this next section, we're on the last couple of pages, so you're almost released from me. But this was an address that Prabhupada gave at a Rathyatra festival. Let's see, where it was, in San Francisco in 1970. My dear boys and girls, so actually now I can sort of talk to you like that because now I'm old enough to call you boys and girls. But anyway, it's Prabhupada speaking. My dear boys and girls, those who have come here, I welcome you on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago and he introduced this Krishna consciousness movement. This Ratha Yatra is one of the items of this Krishna consciousness movement. Jagannath. Just try to understand Jagannath. Jagat means the moving world. Gachati iti Jagat. Sanskrit word. Gachati means which is moving. So all these planets, this universe, even the sun, everything is moving as we are moving. We are, of course, animate. From inanimate things, even inanimate things are moving. Your motor car is moving, your machine is moving. But they are moving under the control of some animate object. But animate objects moving, some of the animate objects are standstill, just like trees. But ultimately, they are also moving in the sense that one species of life is being transmigrated to another species of life. So there's always motion. Even things that appear motionless. Therefore, it is called Jagat. Jagat means moving. And Jagat Nath. Nath means the proprietor, master, proprietor. So Jagannath means the proprietor or the master of all these movements. He is Jagannath. And Balabhadra, Balaram. Bala means strength and Ram means enjoyment. So Balaram means who gives you spiritual strength for enjoying eternal blissful life. So these are great. All these definitions are wonderful. He's saying here that Balaram means who gives you spiritual strength for enjoying eternal blissful life. He is Balaram. And Subhadra, Su means auspicious, and Bhadra means well-being. Subhadra, Jagannath, and Balaram combined together are present before you to reclaim you all from your miserable condition of life. I just think it's funny that he's addressing an audience. I don't know how big the audience was. But he's saying, you're all in a miserable condition. Here they've come to rescue you. That is the purport of this Rath Yatra festival. If anyone sees on the cart Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, then he does not take birth again in this material world. Ratheja Vamanam Drishta. So, I shall not take much of your time. You are tired. Actually, this reminds me of a story in New Vrindavan in 1972, during the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. It was Janmashtami at night, and we were all sitting in the temple room, and Prabhupada was having the sannyasis read from the Krishna book. And they were reading the first chapter of Krishna book, then the second, then the third. And as the evening wore on, all these sannyasis and other devotees started nodding out. And it got so crazy that these dandas were thumping the wall and people were practically falling over. And Prabhupada was just really in a state of samadhi. He was just so absorbed in hearing the Krishna book. But he wasn't even noticing all these people practically fainting all over the place. And finally he looked up and said, "Oh, I see you are tired." He was the one in his 70s, but he would say, "Oh, I see you are tired." So here he says, "I shall not take much of your time. You are tired. But some of the important things I may inform you. That this Krishna consciousness movement is not a religious type. It is a great culture. It is a great culture for spiritual emancipation." I just one other aside. Once I was at Rath Yatra out in San Francisco years ago, and Prabhupada gave a lecture. And in the lecture he said this statement, and it just completely, as we used to say, blew my mind at the time. He said, "This is a movement for the living entity." And I started thinking, wow, that means not just the humans. It means every living entity. So what a liberal movement that it's for all living entities. So here he says it's a great culture. Don't think of it as a religion. It's a great culture for what? For spiritual emancipation. So try to understand that we are in this world. Not only we are, everything is a combination of matter and spirit, just like your body. This body is matter. But within this body, you, the spirit soul, is encaged or embodied. So anywhere you see the tree, there are so many species of life. Every species, every individual living entity is a combination of spirit and matter. When the spirit is out of this body, then the body is matter only. Just like in your Bible also it is said, "Dust thou art, dust thou beest." That was from the Scottish Church College's indoctrination, I guess. That dust is this body, but not this spirit soul. So in this material world, we are part and parcel of God, Jagannath. And we are under the auspicious protection of Subhadra. And we have got, I mean to say implicitly, the spiritual strength. In the Vedic literature, you will find Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo. Bala. Bala means this Balaram, the spiritual strength. The spiritual realization can be achieved by the grace of Lord Balaram. So there's one more, and then we'll open it up to see if there's any questions, which I don't know if I'll be able to answer or not, but we'll see. This is from the a purport, 1969 in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was speaking about this song that I mentioned earlier, the Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari. Anyway, so he was speaking about the lines of this particular song, and then he commented. The next line is Ara kabe nitai chandera karuno hebe. Ara kabe nitai chandera karuno hebe. This is also aspiration. That when Nityananda Prabhu, the constant associate of Lord Chaitanya, will be pleased upon me. So this is in his prayer, he's thinking, when will this happen? When will this happen? When will he be pleased upon me? Karuna Koibe. Karuna Koibe means he will be pleased upon me. Nityananda Prabhu or Nittai Chand is the original spiritual master. He is Baladev. Bala means strength, and Deva, the personality of Godhead who gives strength. Therefore, Nithai Chand is the symbol of the spiritual master who gives strength to his disciples. This is the process of disciplic succession. We have to acquire the spiritual strength. No amount of material strength can help you in the advancement of spiritual life. We must derive, actually he said, can help me. In his humility, he said, no amount of material strength can help me in the advancement of spiritual life. We must derive the spiritual strength, just like we have to take electricity from the powerhouse by directly connecting with the powerhouse. Not the wiring, but the electricity. Similarly, this disciplic succession means the strength is descending from the original person through the spiritual master. So this spiritual strength is coming down from the original spiritual master, Nityananda, through the disciplic succession. Just like the analogy that's sometimes given, like if you have a telescope, there are so many lenses. But when you look through the telescope, through all these lenses, you get a perfectly clear picture. So here he's saying this disciplic succession means that strength is descending from the original person through the spiritual master. That is the idea. So Narottam Das Thakur explains or states when Nithai Chand will be pleased. And the result of such pleasure of Nithai Chand is that one becomes free from all desires for material enjoyment. Ara kabe Nithai Chand karuna koribhe sangsara bhasanamor kabe tucha habe. So I'm going to read one very short, final thing. It's maybe a little esoteric, if I can find the book. Oh, here it is. This is a prayer composed by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was, how to put it, very enthusiastic about Nityananda Prabhu. I won't attempt the Bengali because I would just make him... I just wouldn't be able to do it. But this is a translation, and it's a very ecstatic speaking. He says, Nithai is within and without. Well, we could try. Let's try something. I'll say a phrase, and maybe you could repeat it. Nithai is within and without.
Nithai is within and without.
He is everywhere within this world.
He is everywhere within this world.
He is the lover, and he is the sweetheart.
Everyone says it.
Nithai is my regulative principles.
My
object of worship.
And
the light of my eyes.
Nithai is all 10 directions.
In fact, he fills all the three worlds. Nithai is Ananga Manjari. As Ananga Manjari. Eternally serves sweet Srimati Radhika. He is none different from Baladev, whose beautiful face resembles millions of moons, and is surrounded by Sakas and Sakis, the sister of Radharani, Ananga Manjari, is very dear to Sri Shyam, and she is the life and soul of all Sakis. As some of you may know, Nityananda did get married to Ananga Manjari. He actually got married to two sisters, one of them being Ananga Manjari in Krishna Lila. And she decorates the arena of the temple, named Mani Mandira. Nithai sustains the yoga pit and becomes a throne for the Lord to rest on. Nithai is also the dress and ornaments. He enjoys pastimes with the Sakis. What more can I say? Nithai is the eyes, mouth, and limbs of everyone. Nithai, 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 Nithai. I see only Nithai dancing. Raising my hands and chanting, Nithai!
I will go to Braja.
I, Vrindavan Das, only request Nittai to kindly... Sorry. I, Vrindavan Das,
only request Nittai
to kindly never leave me.
Sri
Nityananda Prabhu ki. So, all right, we have a few minutes, like 8 minutes left for any questions or comments.